you would stand with me and turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Amen. Ready for some warmth? I'm not ready to mow my lawn. Those are the costs of warmth, I suppose. Or I could just take a Roundup and just make it a field. Sorry, honey, I don't know. Amen. Joshua 23. Oh, that's a great morning. Joshua 23, starting at verse 12, reading two scriptures, reading from the New King James Version, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out those nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Amen. I want to speak on the subject one more time. One more time this morning. Amen. You may be seated. I have a question. Does anybody like to sleep? Man, we got some passionate folks in the house. I am one who not only enjoys my sleep, but I have a skill associated with sleeping. I can sleep anywhere. And no comments about those chairs over there. I can sleep anytime and in any situation. I worked from home for about 10 years, and there was more than one time that Fiona walked into the office and I was asleep, sitting in my office chair. Mind you, it was in our second bedroom, guest room, then there was a bed there. But I wanted to appear like I was working, and I would actually sit with my hands on the keyboard in my chair, and I would fall asleep. She once took a picture of me to refute my claims that I wasn't actually sleeping. I was sitting in my chair, head down, drool from the side of my mouth, snoring away in the most uncomfortable-looking position, mind you, yet I was asleep. And you do not know how stressful it is to have this skill while sitting in a comfortable chair on that platform in front of you, dear folks, especially after a night where Josiah was awake off and on. I have a skill. I share this not so you know some random factoid about my life, but rather to highlight and emphasize the experience I had that has led to this service today. You see, 2 weeks ago, Friday, March 9th, we attended the Hyphen Conference. It was Friday and Saturday, and we went to the Friday evening service. Then, as any normal evening, we got home and got our little guy settled down and relaxed for a while, and then I went to bed. Now, the scripture says in Joel 2:28, "Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Next year I turn 40, and to some I'm just a young man. Amen. I see some hands. Yeah, that's right. But to the young people who are in youth class this morning, I'm older than dirt. And so then technically I should be able to dream dreams as well as have visions. Amen? My logic. And that's exactly what happened. During the night, I began having a dream, and at a certain point in the dream, things got very tense, and I woke up. Now, that's not the unusual part, because I've had tense dreams before, and but as a skilled sleeper, I usually am back asleep within a minute or two. I'm not one to wake up and get out of bed for any reason. I could be stressed all out with all the environmental job situations, everything, and I still will sleep. I apologize to those who stay up worrying and fretting. I worry and fret, but I sleep. And I wake. I may go to the bathroom or go get some water, but I get back in bed, and within minutes, I'm asleep again. All you have to do is think of nothing, and you just go to sleep. Pastor said, you can't think of nothing. Well, I can. I just think of nothing, and I go to sleep. This is a debate in our household, because Fiona does not have my skill set that I do. But that night, I did not go back to sleep. I don't know how to describe it, but as I lay there wide awake, I immediately found myself back into the storyline of the dream that I had just woken up from. I remember thinking to myself, wait a minute, I'm awake here. I was wide awake, but I was in that same storyline. What in the world is going on? What had been a dream with a storyline that had random elements in it became a very clear, concise storyline as I lay awake that night. What felt like just a few minutes later, it ended in, once again, a very tense manner, and then it was over. And so I laid in my bed thinking to myself, well, that was weird. Never had that happen before. I think I just had a vision. I actually asked some of our pastors, and I believe that's what it was. Never had that happen to me before. Not sure if that's what it was, but I believe it was a vision. And I was laying there, and I thought, well, I'll just go back to sleep and tell Fiona about it in the morning, mark it off as just a crazy night. But I could not sleep. I felt this tug from the Lord that I needed to get up. And again, I'm a skilled sleeper. I'm good at it. I don't do that. I don't get up. And I hardly ever wake up. I argued with myself, thinking I would just talk about it in the morning. But then I felt the Lord speak to me and say, you won't remember all the details in the morning. You know that about yourself. And it was sound and accurate logic. So I got up, decided not to argue anymore with the Lord, and I wrote the entire thing down. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this dream and vision are specifically for when you speak in 2 weeks. Convey the message. Someone needs to hear it. David said this in the 144th Psalm, verse 3. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? You may be sitting here this morning, or you may be watching online, thinking that you are not on God's radar. But folks, God had someone in mind 2 weeks in advance. At 4 a.m., the Lord woke up a man who is the least likely to wake up. Why? Because he wanted to speak to you. I think we need to take a time out right now to just call upon the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to clear our minds from distractions. And ask that open your heart to him right now to receive his word. Let's pray together, church. Oh, we need you, Jesus. Speak to us, Jesus. Stir us, Lord Jesus, God. Help us to hear, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just respond to the Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Church, this is very different for me. I feel the weight of communicating correctly this morning. God has used an allegorical, creative, interpreted method of communication and asked a linear, structured, organized thinker to filter that and convey the message. So I feel it's best to convey the parts of the dream I felt led to share, as well as the entire vision, and then I'll go back and give the points that I felt the Lord led me to share. My dream was bits and pieces, flash of a scene here or there, oftentimes how my dreams are, elements of the past, elements of current, and then just the weird, because that's how I am. I remember the setting was the church. There were elements of a church conference, and that I had come out of my hotel room. I remember going into the fellowship hall over there. There was food set up as if some sort of potluck or fellowship was going on. I saw a scene of the sanctuary where a group of ladies were praying. Other scenes flashed, but the important things is that it was normal church going on, normal things that we do on a consistent basis. Fellowship, church conference, prayer, etc., on and on. Then I remember seeing from what I would describe as a Google map vantage point, from the heavens looking down at the church, but there was a thermal imaging filter. I saw the outline of the church and what appeared to be hot spots right near the church, as if there was a danger of fire. I got the sense of a forest fire type fire, one where there could be fire all around, heat emanating everywhere. It then transitioned into where I was outside walking up to Jordan Powell. You were my dream, bro. Jordan works as a paramedic for a local fire station, so that's probably the connection there. But he and another firefighter were watching these hot spots and keeping an eye on some actual small brush blazes that were going. Then all of a sudden we were here in the main sanctuary talking about what was going on outside, and Jordan made the comment that the fire was getting really close to the church. We were standing at the back of this aisle, right to the corner, maybe right where Brother Devin is sitting. And Jordan pointed out the sound booth. There's no reflection on sound, folks, so don't try to interpret anything. The pews right in front of it. And he was like, "Pastor Phil, these are made of wood, and that wood has become so extremely dry. They are just waiting to go up in flames." Then a funny moment happened. Most likely, Fiona and I have been helping clean the church lately, and there was Kleenex on the floor. God bless all you Kleenex folks. Thank you for the blessings of not picking those up. Anyways, but we were standing. This led into my dream. We were standing. And there's Kleenex on the floor, and the heat was so intense that Kleenex started to spontaneously combust. And we had to start stomping the little bursts of flame out. This is where it got tense in the dream, and fear began to rise up. And I remember thinking that I need to go make sure Fiona and Josiah are okay. And so I headed out this side door toward the kids' wing. And in the dream, the kids' wing that we consider our kids' wing was actually where the hotel rooms were at and where we were staying along with everyone else. And as I was headed over there, fear started to wash over me, and that's when I woke up. You can see that the dream had random scenes. It was just kind of jumbled here and there, points. There were other non-important stuff that happened as well. But as I mentioned earlier, I found myself right back into the storyline, except I was awake and very aware that I wasn't sleeping anymore. This time there was a clear, distinct movement of the story. It was very vivid, and the vision culminated very quickly. I walked through the double doors into the kids' wing, and people were going in and out of their room, scurrying about because of the impending fire. I came to Fiona in the hallway and was like, we've got to get out of here. We've got to leave. There's a fire bearing down on the church. Let's get our suitcases packed quickly. Let's get loaded up in the car, and let's evacuate. Let's get out of here. And before we went to packing, we walked outside. There's another set of doors going out to the outside if you go all the way down the kids' wing. And we went out those doors, and there was actually a huge parking lot right there. And that's where our car was. And we looked to the right, and there was... We were right at the foothills of mountains, and there was the fire that we could see just glowing on the tops of the mountains. And then in the valley that came down to us, fire was already creeping closer. Fiona said to me, "Let's just get in the car and go." But I insisted on going back to get our stuff. My logic was that we wouldn't want to get to the evacuation center without a change of clothes or our personal belongings. And she just wanted to leave as soon as possible, so she stayed in the car. But I went back in. I remember that I walked in, and it was I observed two things, a totally different scenario. Just a few minutes ago, there was folks everywhere. But now there was only a dozen or so folks in that wing. That's point number one. Number two, I remember as I'm lying there in bed feeling the heat as if the surrounding building was already beginning to burn. I can't even describe it. How I'm awake, I'm seeing this thing, but yet at the sensation of the heat coming down. I burst into our room only to find that it was already packed up, picked up, and Fiona's stuff was already gone. I remember thinking, wow, Fiona had already gotten things in order, and she was in the car already ready to go. I ran back to the same double doors with my bags and burst through, and the parking lot was empty. All the cars were gone. And I began to wonder where they had gone. The ground just disappeared from under me, and I began to fall. I fell and fell and fell and fell. I remember thinking, am I falling into hell? And as I was still falling, the vision ended. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, John records that while he was in the Spirit, God gave him a vision and told him to write letters to the seven churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And to most of those churches, the following exhortation is given. God says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so I echo that this morning to the church in Madison, to someone who the Lord woke me up for 2 weeks ago. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church." In preparation for this message, God impressed upon me that the dream portion that night is a combination of who the Lord wants to speak to as well as the conditions. And then the vision portion is the message. In my dream, there was everything church that was going on, like I said, fellowshipping, preaching, prayer, conference type atmosphere. You can see the entire spectrum was covered. Those who were giving of themselves in dedication to the Lord and in prayer, and you could tell that they were living for the Lord and doing their very best, and maybe those who were just in attendance, who were just coming for the fellowship. So this is for all of us today, whether you are a guest this morning or are a mature Christian and have been walking with the Lord for years and years. The Bible says, Psalms 138 and 6, "Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly." He's looking from above, a heavenly perspective. God is aware of the conditions around us that we may not be aware of. He can see with thermal imaging filters, so to speak, that there are hot spots that are threatening folks today. You may be feeling out of sorts. You may be feeling pressure in your life. Some may have started to see effects of something out of their control as they have begun to be affected by the heat. You may not know the source of the pressure, but know that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and to destroy us, as we are told in John 10:10. Remember in the dream, we were in the back, and a small section of pews was pointed out as being incredibly dry. It was not every pew that was pointed out, but only a segment of them. There are some here this morning that God is wanting to speak to that are in the church environment but are completely dried out spiritually. And you are in danger of being so easily consumed by the hot spots, by the fire. The heat is going to continue to grow. The pressure is going to continue to mount to the point that we all are going to realize the danger and start moving to get ourselves away. So what's the message this morning? I want to point out the interesting dichotomy between my wife and I in the vision. We both sensed the danger. We both were in the church. We both knew we had to evacuate to get moving. But Fiona was ready to go. I was not. Reminds me of a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 25. I want to read it here this morning, starting verses 1 through 10. "And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. You will notice that just like in my dream and vision, the 10 virgins were all waiting for the bridegroom. They were in church, so to speak, waiting for the coming of the Lord, a simile of us waiting for the return of the Lord. However, some will be ready when the Lord comes, and others may not be. Folks, we don't know when the Lord is going to return for us. The important thing is to be ready. The foolish virgins also had oil in their lamps. It didn't say, in King James it says they didn't have any, but in the four or five other versions I checked, it says the lamps are going out, indicating that they had oil in their lamps at one point, but they didn't bring enough or restock enough for the delay in the bridegroom coming. The scripture says, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We had some, but we're running low." We can't just fill up on Sunday and expect to last through the week, church. Our relationship with Jesus must be an ongoing, living relationship. Last week we had Brother John Confetti here from India, talking about India and the mission going on, the work of the Lord going on. And for those of you who are here, did you notice he kept using the phrase, "the church of the living God"? What a powerful, distinguishing phrase to use when you are ministering in a country that has 300,000 gods of stone, wood, metal, nature, etc., on and on. Gods that aren't living and can't speak to your hearts and lead you and guide you in life. But we serve a living God. And as such, our relationship with him should be one that is alive. Else, what's the difference? What's the difference? When you look at the children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but were miraculously supplied with food called manna. Every morning, the manna was came on the dew, and they collected it. And it was a miracle in a desert type environment. They were instructed to collect only enough manna for that day and no more. And the Bible says that early on some folks tried to store it up. What happened? It spoiled and it went bad. Another example that we can just stock up and hope that we have enough to last us. And that is a tendency that we have, but we need to daily approach the Lord. Yesterday's communion with God, walking in the garden, walking in the cool of the day as Adam and Eve did, and having relationship with Jesus is not enough today. We need to do the same today. Psalm 68:19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us up with benefits, the God of our salvation." I beg you this morning, don't delay. Don't wait. If you've never committed the direction of your life to Jesus, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues, don't delay. Make that choice today. If you haven't dipped into the well of living water recently, don't brush it off like you can go at any point. You may be more dried out than you think. You may be in more danger than you realize. You know, and Josiah has been sick this week, and man, he's woken up in the night, just, and you can just tell that he's thirsty, because it's just this dry, raspy cough, and it's like we've just brought him water, and it's just like he sucks it down, and it's like, okay, whew, give him some medicine, and it's just like he calms down, gets back to sleep. But you know, like, how when you just are dry and you're just dehydrated, You can just feel that. It's just your body's craving water. Spiritually, we can be the same, yet not even know it. In my dream and vision, there was no buildup, no weather channel that forecasted ahead where we could see something coming. It was church as usual, and then all of a sudden there was fire surrounding us. We made our decisions based on our readiness. So the first message to someone this morning, and I implore you with all my heart, you need to be full and ready to go anytime. You need to call on Jesus today. If you filled up recently, you need to fill up one more time. Tomorrow morning, you need to fill up one more time. On Tuesday, you'll need to fill up one more time. On Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, you'll need to fill up one more time. We have to be full and ready. For the second message, I want to look at Joshua. Moses is the individual who led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into the wilderness, and they're there for 40 years. The older generation dies off except for Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua is the next leader who leads them into the promised land. In chapter 23 of the book of Joshua, Joshua is now old and giving his last words to the leaders, the elders of Israel. He recounts how God had led them to where they're at, that God has helped them win the battles they've already won. And Joshua encourages the people to continue driving out the enemy and to stay true to God and his principles and take no thoughts of the practice of those in the land. And he says in verses 11 through 13 of chapter 23, he says, "Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." And this was our opening two scriptures. "Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Take heed yourselves. Love the Lord your God." Just like Joshua warned in my vision, I was concerned about the material things, the items of comfort, the clothes that we potentially needed during our evacuation. And as I turned back from just leaving to go get that stuff, and when I did, I looked out and everyone was gone. And the ground beneath me gave way, and I began a free-for-all until the vision ended. There are things in our lives that we turn to instead of God for fulfillment, for peace of mind, for security, for acceptance, for entertainment. Things we want to take with us. In my vision, it was material possessions and a comfort. I'll never be able to list every scenario, but it could be a compulsive behavior you go back to. That's your default. A habit that you have, a way of thinking, that when it gets pressured in life, that you go into that way of thinking. Maybe it's a negative, depressive spirit, or I'm worthless type attitude, or hey, I've got everything under control, I'm all that, and there's an arrogance, and maybe it's just a way of thinking. It could be, like I said, it could be media. That you say, you know what, I'm just bored, and I deserve a break. And so, boom, you just slip something in that you're used to watching or listening to. It could be stuff, material things. It could be family. It could be tradition. It could be relationships. It could be finances. It could be your image and what folks think of you. Whatever may be in our lives, if we want to move forward in God, we must leave certain things behind us. Judges is the book that follows the book of Joshua, and it describes the years after Joshua and the elders had passed on. Sure enough, they didn't drive the enemy out. They went back to and clung to the things that were not of God. So God allowed the pressure in the form of invasion in the form of other armies and countries and other peoples to come against them. And if you just read through Judges, it's a sad tale of they cried out to God in the oppression and the misery. And God would raise up a man or woman like Gideon or Samson or Deborah. And they would be used mightily by the Lord to bring deliverance to the people. Only for them, once they got comfortable, that they would go back one more time to the same things they were doing. In Judges 10:11 through 14, after the story of Gideon and how with 300 men God delivered them from an army of 130,000-ish soldiers. Just incredible just to think about. They didn't do a thing. God just confused them and they just slaughtered themselves. And God delivered the day. And it goes on. And after this story, Gideon is a hero and then he just becomes a zero. Just totally turns back to the things that are not pleasing to the Lord. And Judges 10:11-14 says, "So the Lord said to the children of Israel, 'Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? Also the Sidonians and the Amalekites and Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress.'" We go back to things. Will there be a time that God says, "All right, look to that bank account. I'll let you live your life. See what the bank account can do for you. Look at that relationship. You go back to it again. I'll let you do that." Whatever the situation in your life. I can't describe how unsettling and terrifying it is to be wide awake yet have the sensation of falling. Again, as I fell, the ground disappeared. It was just like the heat before. I could feel the heat and I could, laying in bed, sense myself falling. Nothing to hold. And I'm afraid of heights. And falling. I've had nightmares of falling in the past. And so this is a real fear for me. And nothing to hold on to. Nothing to secure you. Some may find it thrilling to jump out of a plane or bungee jump off a bridge or tower. God bless you. It can be a rush. But ultimately, in the back of your mind, you know that it's okay because there's a parachute or there's a harness. No one in their right mind would just say, "I'm just going to hope for a haystack. I'm going to jump out of this plane." No, the delight would turn to horror if the harness or parachute was no longer there. And that's what I felt as I lay there, falling, 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 falling. All because I turned back one more time and just didn't go with the Lord and out. The musicians could make their way up. 2 Peter 3:9 sums up why I believe the Lord woke me up 2 weeks ago to set in motion today's message. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." He's patient. He's patient. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If you would stand with me. God is calling someone to get filled up one more time. He's warning someone to lay stuff aside and not to look back, else you will go back one more time, which may be your last time going back. He's reaching out one more time this morning to you, my friend, calling you, warning you, reaching to you. I referenced John 10:10 earlier, and let's read the entire verse now. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. God is here this morning to give you abundant life. Renew that abundant life. And I ask, won't you respond to His word this morning? I don't know who this was for. Maybe just one. And maybe a dozen. But I believe all of us can take something from this and examine ourselves. So I would encourage and I would ask, want to invite everyone to the front to speak to the Lord, talk to the Lord, ask the Lord, God, where do I fit? Do I fit in this, Lord? If there's not things to lay back, maybe it's just you just need to get full again of His Spirit. He's reaching one more time, church. He's reaching one more time. He's reaching one more time. He's calling to get filled one more time. He's warning, don't go back another time. Gotta let things go. There's things that are maybe not sin, but they're weights, and they'll drag us down. And when we get pressured and when we get stirred and when the fire comes against us, our default's going to go back to those things. It may be too late. Won't you come?
The altar, the Father's arms are open.
He's here to give you abundant life.
Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open.
I give my life to you,
Jesus.
Us to identify the things that we need to leave behind, to never go back to ever again.